Technorama episode 464, Self-Driving Podcast.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey man, that pilot you pointed me to last week, he didn't turn out so good. Where can I find his boss?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama or watching on the video feed or YouTube or wherever you're coming from, thank you for joining us. If you're returning listener slash viewer slash straggler, homeless, vagrant,
hobo,
welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time. We love our viewers and listeners.
whatever we call them.
I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing very well. My legs are a little sore, but I'm okay.
Your legs are a little sore? I hesitate to ask. From what?
Well, thanks for your interest. Yesterday we went on a 12-mile hike with the scouts. It was at South Mountain in North Carolina. I'm telling you, it was like up and down the hill. I mean, the trail.
Yeah.
We go over one peak and down another, and it was crazy. But we had a good time, and it was weather was pretty decent for a change.
So you got sore buns?
Not the buns, the thighs.
Thighs. When you're coming down, that's when the thighs get you.
Yeah. Your quads are yelling.
Did you have
a
walking stick or sticks?
I did have hiking poles, and they helped. They helped a lot.
Yeah, they helped a lot.
It was the first time I've actually really used a set, and it worked well.
You went to South Mountain in North Carolina. Is there a North Mountain in South Carolina?
Maybe.
We're going to look that up on Wikipedia while we take a quick
break. We got to have parity between the Carolinas.
Coming up in this episode, we have Autocomplete This. Time machines are back, and apparently so are Atari games. All that and much more coming up right after this.
I love the Atari games.
Technorama, now available in HG. High Geekinition. See the amazing sounds in blazing 4D Cinescope.
Hear the high pixel count sound in widescreen.
All available in 1080G.
1 million geek souls in every direction.
Hi, this is Edward James Olmos, Battlestar Commander Adama, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama. Don't forget, frack off.
I think we're going to need to have NCAF make us a new promo, because that one was only in 1080p.
I know. Now we got like 4K.
Right.
4G.
Let's just go to 8K and make it good for another 3 years.
Hey, by the way, I always like hearing Edward James Olmos tell us to frack off. It puts a smile on my face.
Don't forget, frack off.
He has such an awesome voice.
Yeah. It was pretty cool in person, too.
Normally in this part of the episode, we would do the feedback from the listeners, but we didn't get any this week.
What was it, a dry well this week?
It was a dry well or a dry socket or dry.
Feast or famine in this part of the show.
Yep, pretty much. But we love hearing from you. If you want to get in touch with us, send us your feedback at technorama@chuckchat.com if you want to email that.
Your sister says it better, by the way.
Technorama?
No, the whole feedback.
Send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
Or call the listener line.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Or I can do it over a babbling brook. Send your comments to technorama@chuckchat.com.
I'm having flashbacks from my hike.
Either that or the sink is running. Hang on, I'll be right back.
I all of a sudden got to go to the bathroom. We'll be back in a second.
Yeah, that's nasty when you do that to the listeners. It's like when you hear the siren in the car. Wee, wee, wee.
Yeah, start looking around.
Right.
Oh, it's the podcast.
Hate it when they do that. Then let's jump right to, well, we don't need to roll for initiative. We're going to do On This Day in History. What?
Well, I want to go first.
Okay, roll. Make it easy.
Oh, wait. My dice. Hold on.
First, he can't find his audio cable. Now he can't find...
I know where... It's right here. Okay.
Towel, banana, die. What part about keep these things close don't you understand?
Okay, here we go. They're always within arm's length. All right. I rolled which side of the dot on? A 19.
Oh, he rolled a 17. All right. You go first. You get the first bullet. I'll bring it in. Here we go.
All right.
I start the marching band. On this day in history for February 3rd, 2016, this is the 34th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 332 days remaining in 2016.
It was on this date in 1488 in Bartolomeu Dias de of Portugal lands. And what kind of name's this crap?
In Mossel Bay.
After rounding the Cape of Good Hope, becoming the first known European to travel so far south.
Ooh, there you go. Tulip mania collapses in the United Provinces, now the Netherlands, as sellers could no longer find buyers for their bulb contracts 379 years ago today. That was the start of futures. They had, you know, like stock market that we do today. Sure. That's 379 years ago.
That's interesting. The colony of Massachusetts issues the first paper money in the Americas in 326 years ago today.
That same date in 1834, Wake Forest University is established.
And 98 years ago today, the Twin Peaks Tunnel in San Francisco, California begins service as the longest streetcar tunnel in the world at 11,920 feet. That's 3,633 meters for you metrics there. Long.
For us non-backwards Americans. Also today in 1947, the lowest temperature in North America at -63.9°C for us non-backwards Americans, which is -83 degrees Fahrenheit, is recorded in Snag, Yukon.
They can keep it. Deaths of rock and roll musicians Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and JP the Big Bopper Richardson in a plane crash near Clear Lake, Iowa, 57 years ago today.
Hello, baby. Do you know where they played from when they left for that trip?
No, trivia I think question. I can remember it, but...
Trivia question. Oh,
I don't remember. Sorry, go ahead. Just what?
It wasn't at Appleton, Donna? It was somewhere in my old neighborhood.
Well, I knew it was up north somewhere.
Yep.
Okay.
The unmanned Soviet Luna 9 spacecraft makes the first controlled rocket-assisted landing on the moon on this date in 1966. Ooh, this is getting scary. The Soviets are beating us to the moon on every front.
And John Buster, the research team at Harbor UCLA Medical Center, announces history's first embryo transfer from one woman to another, resulting in the live birth of 32 years ago today.
Wow. That baby is not a baby anymore. That very same date, Space Shuttle STS-41B is launched using Space Shuttle Challenger.
And February 3rd.
No, it's thirst.
I like thirst. February 3rd, 1995, astronaut Elaine Collins becomes the first woman to pilot the Space Shuttle on a mission, STS-63. Gets underway as it gets underway in Kennedy Space Center in Florida.
And it stopped making that noise that the TARDIS makes because she didn't leave the parking brake on.
Yeah, get out and push.
Happy birthday goes out on this date to the United States' first Postmaster General, Samuel Osgood, born on this date in 1747.
And also born this date in 1857, Italian sculptor and designer of the Vulcan statue, Giuseppe Moretti.
Oh,
it's Giuseppe.
See, I just thought it was cool because it was a Vulcan statue.
I know, right? I see Spock like this, you know.
Right. Live long and expire. Where were we? German. Oh, that means I get the German one.
Poet.
German engineer and designer of the Junkers J1, Hugo Junkers, was born today in 1859.
and poet Gertrude Stein on this was born today, February 3rd, 1874.
One of America's most famous painters, Norman Rockwell, was born today in 1894.
And also born in the state in 1904, one of America's most famous gangsters, Pretty Boy Floyd, not related to Pink Floyd.
Or Pretty Boy George?
Yeah, Pretty Boy George. That's right. 3 points.
Henry Heimlich, American physician and author. You know what he's famous for?
The Heimlich maneuver, that's where they...
Right.
It's a military maneuver.
Born. He's 96 today. Apparently, he's still alive.
Wow. He doesn't choke on anything.
Nope.
And his birthday cake.
That would be ironic, wouldn't it?
Hey, we'll see.
You'll see. You know what's going to happen? He's going to like die the day the show comes out, and you're not going to be laughing anymore.
I know. I'll be mortified. Celebrating his 83rd birthday, lawyer and politician Paul Sarbanes of Sarbanes-Oxley fame.
Oh,
fame.
Yay. We love him.
Fame.
Infamous.
Yes, infamous. That's what I'm thinking of.
Actress Morgan Fairchild. Yeah, that's the ticket. Morgan Fairchild. She turned 66 today.
And finally, Warwick Davis is 46.
He was buried inside of R2-D2, right?
Inside of an Ewok costume, maybe.
And that's the way it was, more or less, on this day in history for February 3rd, 2016.
Don't trust us. Look it up on Wikipedia like we do.
That's where we get it from. Goodbye, marching band. And hello, what?
Hey, I was going to say about Warwick Davis. It's funny, I was looking back at some, you know, when Star Wars was coming up, some of the old pictures and video, and there he is. He's like a little kid, you know, and performing on, you know, as a Ewok and everything. It's kind of funny to see how young he was back then.
He's old now, like us.
No, he's not. He's only a year younger than I am.
He's old, like us.
He's a youngin now.
He's old like us.
Oh, great news, everyone.
This is great news. We've got a couple of great news stories. The White House isn't just relying on legislation to make computer science education a priority in the United States, but President Obama has launched a computer science for all initiatives, a computer science for all initiative. I had to say that right. That gives states $4 billion in funding to expand computer science in K-12 schools through a mix of better course materials, partnerships, and teacher training. The move also sends another $100 million directly to school districts, unlocks $135 million in funding from government organizations to get further cooperation from both local governments as well as tech leaders. Hey, that'd be you and me, right?
Right, sure.
Because we're old like Warwick Davis.
I'm a leader.
Some of those leaders include companies that have already promised support from the president's educational initiatives. Apple, Cartoon Network, Code.org, Facebook, Microsoft, Salesforce, and Qualcomm are all, but we've got companies in there that we compete against, so I think we must get in there.
Let's kill the story. abort. No.
And we also have some of our customers and partners in there, too, so that's good news. Throwing cash at a problem won't make it all go away, of course, and there aren't any guarantees that the money will make a difference. However, the effort at least tackles one of the core issues head on, getting computer science into schools in the first place. Roughly 3/4 of schools go without any CS programs, and 22 states don't accept these classes as credit towards high school diploma.
Okay.
If the extra funding works as planned, it'll get CS courses into more schools and help generate a generation of kids that know how to code before they reach college. That is great news, everyone.
I think it is. I mean, you know, coding is such a fundamental thing because it embodies logic and analytical thinking, you know, how to solve a problem.
It does.
And I think you can use it in a lot of different ways.
But not everyone is analytical. You have to remember that different people think in different ways. Some people are right brain, some people are left brain. And as much as I'm encouraged about this, having interest, obviously, in computer science and a CS degree myself, it's sort of like forcing me to take piano class when I may not have an aptitude for piano. It may not be the thing for me that resonates or that my skills or talents work with. So I don't know if they're not necessarily making it a requirement. They're making it more eligible for people to get into. I'm kind of arguing against myself at this point. But I agree we need more exposure because what's the acronym? Math, science, technology.
I was thinking garbage in,
STEM,
garbage out.
STEM, science, technology, engineering, and medicine.
For STEM.
Mathematics. Yeah. Now it's STEAM. What's the A for?
Art. Because Adam Savage suggested it be STEAM instead of STEM.
Okay.
For the product, because there is a element of art in all this.
Yes, there is. Oh, I agree 100% that computer science is just as much art as it is analytical and logical, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's, I'm encouraged. $4 billion, is that enough to make a difference and bring it into these schools that don't currently have it and expose some of these kids? Hallelujah. Let's keep going.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll tell you what, I think a good example of the art, say what you want about it, but Apple. You know, I think or at least Steve Jobs drove a lot of that. So you got, you know, technology and art kind of colliding, and you end up with some of the products that they brought out.
I think I got cat hair in my mouth.
Well, by the way, there is another article. It's not in the show notes, but when I saw that you'd put this one in here about the president, I'm gonna put another link in here. But I'm not sure. I haven't read the article exactly yet. It says the President Obama wants every kid to learn coding for all the wrong reasons. And I think they were trying to say, from what I gather real quick, is that, coding itself is not in just education. I'm trying to figure this out. Anyway, I'm going to put it in here and let you read it.
Yeah, yeah. All right. We also have other good news from the Star Trek world. Star Trek this year is going to be turning 50 years old.
Really? Who's old now?
Yeah, me.
You. At least you admit it.
Uh-huh. And darn proud of it. Oh, wait, that's the line from our intro video to find out what Technorama is all about. Right. So, Star Trek is getting a new convention for its 50th anniversary, which is highly logical. One of, if not the biggest anniversaries in pop culture this year, is the 50th anniversary of Star Trek. A new TV show is in the works, a new film is being released, and now there's official news of a massive three-day convention coming to New York. Wow. It's called Star Trek Mission New York.
Well, no, props for the creativity in titling the thing.
You know, they probably should have put this thing in San Francisco and called it Star Trek, like Starfleet Academy or something.
Yeah.
That would have made more sense. And it will take place September 2nd through 4th, which directly conflicts with Dragon Con.
At the Javits Center. We got to pick our battles there.
Mm-hmm. Info on tickets, hotels, and all that is coming soon to the official Star Trek Mission site. Star Trek Mission New York will be a completely unique fan event, unlike anything you've seen before. Really, people are probably going to dress up like Star Trek characters, is my guess. We'll see what they come up with for a segments and panels.
I'm sorry, we can't let you in here dressed as a Tribble.
That was from Lance Fensterman, Global Senior Vice President of Read Pop. I'll give them a chance to go beyond panels and autograph signings and immerse themselves into the Star Trek universe. Hey, I wonder if they're going to bring the Star Trek experience things over there. That'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would.
Repop, who organized New York Comic Con, promises interactive exhibits, exclusive merchandise, celebrity guests, panels, screening, and much, much more. It sounds like something all Trek fans should keep an eye out for. But if you can't attend, I have a sneaking suspicion that Engadget and IO9, they're now kind of one site. They'll have some coverage as well, and we'll bring it to you as well after the holidays, the Labor Day holiday. And if you want to know more about the 50th anniversary Star Trek events, head over to, USA Today has some coverage on there too. Good news, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some really cool stuff happening because of Star Trek. I don't know if you've got the other stuff in the, we do. We'll get to it in a little bit.
All right.
Regarding Star Trek, you know what I'm talking about.
Let's turn to the birthday calendar because there are a lot of them.
Oh, so you can have birthdays, but you can't have feedback?
Right.
Come on.
Well, maybe maybe we'll get some birthday names wrong and people can write in and say, that's not how you say my name.
That's right.
February 3rd has two birthdays. Mark Trouble, who's not really on our birthday calendar, but he was on Facebook and we played.
He sounds like Trouble. No. He sounds like he likes to make Trouble.
Maybe that's the plural of Tribble.
The Trouble with
like
Tribbles?
Octopus, octopi. Trouble with Trouble Tribbles.
That's right. Yes.
Ewan Campbell McGregor from Scotland, UK. Ewan McGregor? Is he on our list? Oh, anyway.
It's not that one. It's okay. Not that one.
Okay. Stephen Ely is on the 5th. On the 7th, we have Chad W. Smith from Chattanooga, Tennessee. Brian the Big BS in PA. In Williamsport, PA.
We'll take your word for that.
Is also on the 7th. On the 8th, we have Jan Scott from Yorkshire, UK. Did we ever determine if this is Jan or Jan?
I think it's Jan.
I'm going with the German thing.
Wait a minute. Didn't he call in and tell us?
We're going to have to go back. Here's a reason to give us feedback if we can't pronounce your name, like we said. And another one I stole from Facebook on the 8th is Julie's boyfriend, Will, who was sitting right here on our, about a month ago, 4 weeks ago, mm-hmm. on our
yep.
great New Year's kickoff
show. Yeah, you can see him on the thumbnail in the video.
And on the 9th is podcast Mike Wills from Minnesota. Happy birthday to all of you. We hope you have a wonderful, wonderful birthday. And if you're not on the birthday calendar and have a birthday that week, happy birthday to you too. We'd love to see your name on the birthday. Apparently people are throwing in their relatives, their pets.
Didn't we get somebody ask for permission with their dog?
Birthdays for their appliances. I don't know. Warranty period.
I need to remember when to change the water filter in my fridge.
Let's sing them. Let's sing them the birthday song.
It's Nibbler's birthday. What a day for a birthday. Let's all have some cake.
And you smell like one, too.
Happy birthday to all of you. Yeah. We're going to take a short break. Come back with the Hacks and Strange Stories. Don't miss out on the Google News we have. And more Star Trek stuff coming up right after this. And we'll also give a huge thank you to the patrons. We want to see you on that list shortly, too. Hang around. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Nuke Choss, the host of Nutty Bites.
And hi, I'm Tech, Nutty's regular guest.
Or antagonist. Our podcast is like a call-in show where geeks get to debate topics about speculative fiction.
We don't really debate.
Sure we do. We debate topics such as lame superpowers, the best villains, and our favorite apocalypses.
We're more like rant, rave, and then have massive nerd rages.
People call in from all over the world, sometimes minor celebrities, and we've even had some supervillains show up.
Do you ever notice that you never have any superheroes or good guys?
I'm a good guy.
Compared to what?
Antagonist. Not really a guest. Nutty Bites. Nimlast.org.
This is Brett Thacker, formerly Division Chief for the Delta Launch Operations Division at Kennedy Space Center, and you're listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
He's now sending us that clip from the great beyond.
Right.
Because Bud is no longer with us. Bud has left this plane of existence. That was a while ago. Every once in a while, I get a message from his brother or one of his relatives that says, hey, mm-hmm. can you point me to that interview you did with Bud? Which is kind of cool.
Oh.
It'd be able to have an archive of things. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. All right, we have one from Tim Adamix. Seth put something on Facebook today that I thought was rather hysterical. A man was filling out his profile. I don't know what system it was, if it was for work or social media, and he was using Google's autocomplete to finish the sentences. So when you put in, when you're doing Google searches, it says, my name is, and it will autocomplete some things for you in the search. He would just take whatever's on there. So the profile was something like that.
Or. Is it like when you do this on your phone and you use the auto, where it has the words above the keyboard?
Yeah, that's the predictive text. Those don't really make good sentences.
Sometimes they do, they're kind of weird.
Right. This says, name, my name is in French. Age, my age in seconds. Location, I live in a shed. Nationality.
All right, just
getting freaky. Nationality. I was born in the dark. Body type. My body is ready.
Wait a minute. National. He was born in the dark. I think it'd be more like it was in the dark before he was born.
I am looking for someone to share in an adventure who enjoys listening to sad music and has two thumbs.
That narrows it down.
I enjoy long walks on the beach. I like turtles. I like dogs, and I like to party.
You know what that reminds me of? Christmas Story. I like the Tin Man.
I like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah. My ideal partner would be a person who is addicted to alcohol, who can fix my car, and who thinks the earth is flat. Yeah, baby. I almost called this week's episode Flat Earth.
Hey, he can go talk to B.O.B. What are the rapper?
Right, B.O.B. And Neil deGrasse.
He probably satisfies all those requirements right there.
My turn-ons are hugging and depression.
Mutually exclusive, by the way.
My turn-offs are being blocked on WhatsApp and being found in human form. So he's not really human, but his body is ready because he was born in the dark.
That's right.
Thank you, Tim, for sharing that. You didn't know you were going to be part of the show, but hey, surprise. We take anything from anywhere. And you ever lose your phone? I hope not. I hope not. But you're aware of that feature called Find My Phone.
Yes. Right.
Well, unfortunately, there's this couple that has a house that apparently, for whatever reason, they haven't figured out yet, keeps telling people their lost phones are at this particular house.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Since February last year, a host of strangers have been showing up uninvited at Christine Lee and Michael Saba's suburban Atlanta home for the weirdest reason. They're all looking for their lost phones. Much to the young couple's surprise, smartphone tracking apps all over the city have been directing phone owners to their house.
Is it like the default address or something?
Maybe. It all started when an angry family came knocking on the door last February demanding that Lee and Saba return their stolen phone. The bewildered couple had no freaking idea what they were talking about. The same thing happened 2 months later, this time with a group of friends looking for a lost phone.
You know, this could get dangerous.
I agree 100%. This would be very uncomfortable. I just put a sign out in front that says, no, we haven't seen your phone. Try the neighbors.
Yeah. Contact Apple.
We no see lost phone. You no more ask. Soon the problem got worse, with four such visitors showing up within a span of a month. People would call on them morning, noon, and night, and with the same bizarre question. Where the heck is my phone? Of course, Lee and Saba had no clue about the missing phones, some Android, some iPhones, with a variety of characters. They even developed a standard response. I'm sorry you came all this way. This happens a lot.
I would just make a card and just hand them a card and close the door.
Well, if you were looking for your phone and it said it was there, you'd be a little suspicious that they were giving you a stock answer, wouldn't you? I mean, that would make it just all the worse. Well, the plot thickened last June when pings from a missing teenage girl's phone led the police to the home. The police treated Lee and Saba as suspects and made them sit outside for an hour while they considered issuing a warrant to search the house. According to Saba, when he asked if he could go inside to use the bathroom, a policeman said, your house is a crime scene and you two are persons of interest. Needless to say, the couple are now worried sick that all these events might be part of a larger conspiracy or lead to disastrous consequences. Yeah, kind of like your credit rating. This could end up on your police report. Look, the police have been over here three times in the last month. It's almost sounding like a Netflix documentary in the works.
Yeah. You know, okay, this is what concerns me a little bit. Okay, you get them police involved.
Yep.
From basically, I would say, digital hearsay. You know, because how do you know that the Find My Phone is entirely accurate? And they go off on that data, on that information, thinking, well, there could be a crime here, and just do it and go with it. What evidence is that?
And what if there actually is a crime there? And yeah, it's going to be cry wolf kind of. This has markings of something going horribly wrong. We're going to keep.
I mean, to eject somebody from their house as they're, you know, they do a search warrant. I don't know. I would, if you had that many people, I would say that obviously something's broken, but for the police to just follow blindly. I mean,
they have to go on whatever lead they've got. If there's a missing girl and it says her phone is at that address, they have to follow up on that. You can't just ignore and go, oh yeah, yeah, it's Saba and Christina again.
I know, but it just seems a little funny that would be hard evidence or something, you know. I guess it would be data circumstantial.
Point. It's a lead you have to follow.
Yeah, I guess maybe. Like tweets, you know, how many times have we heard of people getting arrested by a tweet, you know, for hate speech or something?
Yeah.
You know? How do you know that person sent it? What if somebody else had access to their account and posted that?
Uh-huh. It's crazy world we live in. They've checked with multiple carriers. That doesn't seem to be a factor because it's happening with multiple carriers. It's not like, oh, this Verizon tower and that Verizon tower. And, oh, we don't have a third one to triangulate. Mm-hmm. Well, it's happening on T-Mobile and Verizon and AT&T. So it doesn't make any sense how this is happening so frequently. It would start to drive me nuts if people showed up my phone.
Ben is saying in the chat room,
yes,
that the Find My Phone isn't accurate based on what happened after he lost his phone. Or, I'm sorry, his phone was stolen from him.
Oh, where did it say his phone was?
I don't know.
Let's wait for him
to respond.
Well, okay. Well, we welcome everybody in the chat room. Anybody else in the chat room that you can see, Craig?
I see Ben. Well, Keith. I think Keith spoke up. After the police here in Phoenix didn't care about stolen phones, see?
Uh-huh. No, but they don't care about the stolen phone, but they care if somebody was abducted and they use the phone to find it as a lead to potentially find that person.
Oh, no. See, now that's different. I mean, you know, their stakes are higher. The stakes are much higher there.
Yeah, well, that's what it sounded like the police were leading him to. It's like, hey. Okay. Well, shout out to the chat room. If you're around on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern time, we'd love to see you online with the rest of us. And if you're catching it later on YouTube, cool. Block off Sunday night or wherever it is, what time it is in your neighborhood, 9:30 Eastern time. We'd love to see you there. We'll always be around unless we're not, which we won't be next week. We're taking a couple weeks off for...
Well, one of us is.
Maintenance.
I'll be manning the helm, but we're just hanging out. I don't know.
Hey, this one came up a little quicker. Let's play the music. Every time I brought this page up earlier, it took forever to load. Well, this time it didn't. Would you let... You found this story. Go ahead.
Yes.
You can take this.
Okay, and we reported on this earlier in past episodes where they're restoring the USS Enterprise that's hanging in the Smithsonian.
The original, the NCC 1701 from TOS.
I'm getting there.
I'll shut up.
It's the original one from the show. And, you know, we had talked about the nacelles were sagging and it was showing some age. I think the paint was looking a little...
Hey, when you get to be 50, see if your nacelles are sagging.
Well, it is actually apt time to do it because of the, because obviously it needs it, but, you know, it is the 50th anniversary. So, let's see, after a year of extensive research, conservation work on the original studio model of the USS Enterprise is now underway at the museum's space dock. Our goal is to stabilize the model and return it to the appearance of its August 1967 during the filming of the episode Trouble with Tribbles, which marked the
with Mark Trouble.
with Mark Trouble, which marked the last known modification of the ship during the production of Star Trek. The model appeared in all 79 episodes of the original series and was donated to the Smithsonian in 1974. It will go back on public display, to public display in the Boeing Milestones of Flight Hall this year, in time for the museum's 40th birthday in July and the 50th anniversary of Star Trek in September. Visitors to our third annual open house at the Stephen F. Udvar Hayes Center on Saturday can catch a glimpse of the work in progress.
Oh, and you missed really cool. It was yesterday as of this recording.
Yeah, well. But it's pretty cool. If you go to the article, you can click and... If you get, actually, it's like two clicks deep. If you click one on the picture and then you click, it says below, it says large JPEG. Yep. You can see these high-res pictures of this thing. And it's kind of neat to get, they got a camera inside the hull and inside the...
It's kind of depressing because it's just wood in there. There's not like little people in a little engineering section. It's just it's not very exciting. Wires and wood.
Yeah, not really, but it's kind of neat to say, wow, you know, we've seen the exterior of this for years. Now here's the interior.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not as impressive, but it is kind of neat to see. They used some special glue, and they used materials of the period, of course, 50 years ago.
Well, they are going all high tech on the analysis of this thing. I mean, they've done, they can analyze the different layers of paint because there were various restorations in the past. Mm-hmm. They can see the layer from 1966 when it was original. They can see the layers from 1976. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you
cool.
look at the layers, they got it listed. It looks like, geological, you know, markings on the ground where you can see the...
Here's where the dinosaurs lived.
Yeah. In 1964, here's the first pilot gray on the coarsely ground base coat. But, hey, it's pretty fascinating they can come up with all that.
It is. And they've done infrared pictures on this thing. You can see the original pencil lines on the hull where they were going to make the tile mm-hmm. separations.
And they're putting in, even if you scroll down further, you can see they're doing some experiments with some LEDs to light it up rather than, I guess, use bulbs like it used to.
Yeah, he wants to be more energy efficient.
That's right. Yeah, let's move it into the 21st century.
Gone green.
Yeah, we're going backwards in time. But no, it's really cool. They got some great pictures. And if you zoom in, you can really see the cracks in the paint. So it really needed it. And you know what's funny is, even though the weathering—I mean, not weathering—but the way it's painted looks weird because it looks like it's looked like the ship's been in use for a long time. Yeah. It's got some natural weathering almost,
kind of like the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, where you see like not scuff marks, but burnt
carbon scoring
marks. Yeah, yeah. So it's kind of neat to see, and I'm looking forward to maybe one day make it up there.
Yeah, that's got to be a road trip of ours. It's kind of sad to see it all taken apart with the deflector dish over here and the nacelles. It looks mm-hmm. like when you watch Bones or one of those CSI shows where they lay out the bones on the table and rearticulate the body. It's kind of what it looks like with the Enterprise laid out on the table. Like, it's dead.
Hey, they're going to analyze the paint and look at, wait, I see traces of blood here.
It's just con.
Enhance.
Oh, my.
Yeah, it's con.
Have you ever played Atari games when you were younger, Craig?
I literally wore out my Atari 2600.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, hallelujah. You don't have to worry about that anymore. Atari is bringing a collection of 100 classic console games to the PC. It's promising a range of usability upgrades to the originals. The games will be packaged in a single title, Atari Vault.
Wait, upgrades?
Well, maybe the dragon from the adventure game looks better.
Is it going to be like, remember when the CPU speed started to get faster and they had a switch to
turbo mode?
Yeah, because the games were running too fast.
Among those already announced are Asteroid, Centipede, Missile Command, Tempest, and Warlord. The company describes the games as reimagined, though it's not clear how extensive any gameplay changes will be. What is known is that there will be a change to user interfaces, support for the Steam controller, and both online and local multiplayer where appropriate. Multiplayer adventure would be cool. As you'd expect, there will also be a worldwide leaderboard system for comparing high scores. The initial release is planned for both Windows and the Steam system in the spring, with Mac support added later. Pricing hasn't been revealed yet. As always, with such retro projects, it's the selection of the 100 titles that may be the most important factor, of course. There's always the risk that it will be a E.T. few of the better-known titles. And then Journey. Hey,
he was reimagined as Aliens. No.
It'll be a few of the better-known titles and then a lot of padding and other top games held off for an expansion or second edition.
Pole position.
I thought Pole Position was in television. Did they have that on Atari?
No. That was an Atari game.
Okay, man. Combat.
Xevious. That was actually one of my favorite arcade games.
Was that on the 2600? Or was that just an arcade game you're throwing in there for random fun?
No, it was just
fun?
An Atari arcade game.
I went to pick up pizza on Pizza Friday. And over on 7th Street, there's a place called Barrow's. They had a little arcade game with three cabinet style games. Yeah. One was actually like a multi game where you could select. Remember, what was the old game we could do that? Not Galaga. There was one in the way back days in the 1980s that you, Mental Block. But anyway, this was more.
I don't remember that game.
Do you want to play Ms. Pac-Man? Do you want to play this combat game? So it was a bit of a throwback to walk in there. But there were also, I don't know, I haven't played any arcade games in for ages.
Hey, I got. We went to a Wings place last night after we finished hiking. We went to a barbecue place and they ran out of barbecue. Just kind of weird. So we had to go to this wing place.
Wait, you went to a barbecue place and they ran out of barbecue? They ran out of the sauce, the meat, what?
No, we pulled up and we were looking forward to going to this particular place. Everybody's like, oh man, it's great. We pulled up and there's a sign that says closed, ran out of barbecue.
Okay.
So we went over to the wing place next door.
And they ran out of wings.
No, we were standing there waiting, and there was a multi-game just like you talked about. It had Ms. Pac-Man and Galaga. So I thought, okay, I'm gonna have some fun with this. And I told everybody, I said, I used to love that. I'm like, I bet I can beat you right now, any day of the week. You know, I was trying to get somebody to challenge me.
Yeah.
Nobody had a quarter.
Is it still a quarter?
No, actually, as we were leaving, I noticed it said 50 cents.
Well, you're going to have Apple Pay, Tap to Pay, NFC kind of thing soon, too.
Yeah. Just put your phone up there, Johnny. It'll be all right.
Just instead of laying your quarters up to play next, you're lining your cell phone up.
That's right. I was trying to get some. It was funny because I didn't notice the 50 cents at first, and I was trying to get somebody to, yeah, I'll play you. And no, nobody had a quarter to play, so...
I think I last played an actual official stand-up arcade game about 10 years ago, and I stunk. I mean, I knew what I was supposed to do, but I just couldn't execute like I did when I was in my teens and 20s. I'm getting old. Let's read the patrons.
Hey, by the way, yes. Tron used to be my game. Tron.
Oh, Tron, yep. Get up to about a level 8 or 9.
I could rock that one.
Do you remember the names? Do you remember the names of the levels? They were named after programming languages.
Yeah. Oh man. I remember seeing COBOL in there somewhere.
COBOL, Snowball, Algol was like level 4, 5, and 6. PL1 was in there.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Pascal was in there, but I could be wrong. We're going to have to look that up. There's got to be a wiki page out there somewhere. Someone call us, tell us. We're going to read the patrons. They get this cool music. Thank you to the patrons. We are still holding at 7, and we'd love to hear from you or see you.
Can we make an 8? We're standing at 7. Can we make an 8?
Craig's auctioning off the patrons.
Can we get an 8?
Thank you to patron number 1, Kyle Nishioka, Mike Wills, who's got a birthday coming up on the 3rd, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chad D, Alexis Duran, and Ben Vaughn. Thank you very much. If you find this show informative, entertaining, or just something to use as background noise while you do other things, we hope you consider supporting us. As little as $1 a month, or $1 a show. Almost blew it there.
Hey, wait a minute.
Yes.
Well, there's two different levels.
There's different levels. As little as is what I'm saying.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Your entry fee.
Yeah. Beginning at $1
a show. And we give you a thank you with a couple of gotchas. I mean, gimmies, go-tos. Afterwards.
And we're not below giving out. We're not above actually giving out awkward hugs. Just saying.
Awkward hugs to the patrons. There's one I have not seen yet. Nobody has one on their Patreon page that says awkward hugs for in person. we have to add that.
You know what? We can fund our Dragon Con trip with awkward hugs. You know, get it while you're there.
Get them while you're there for free.
That's just it, Chuck. You need to quit giving it away for free.
Give it away now.
Why order the cow if you can get the milk for free? Wait, that's something for something else. Never mind.
Would you like to be called a cow, Craig? I know I wouldn't take that as a compliment.
Wouldn't be the first time.
All right, where are we? Media Corner?
Yes.
Then let's play the Media Corner music. And things.
Thanks. Welcome to Blockhead Video. Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the
media corner.
Hey, before you go any further, Ben, I don't know where I was going to say. Chimes in. And he says that someone had stolen his phone while I assume he was in a restaurant. But the Find My Phone app on Keith's phone said that Ben's was located in a field next to the restaurant, but there was no phone there.
Oh, no. Yeah, that doesn't sound terribly accurate. It sounds like it's using the last position of the restaurant as a close by. Because if it's using cell phone towers, it's not that accurate.
Yeah. See, I want one where if somebody steals my phone and I can't find it, I just blow it up.
Well, you can tell it to erase so they don't get your data.
I want fire.
I
want
fire. Well, you could make it out of a hoverboard then. There's a good use for old hoverboards. Stop.
It's wireless too. It just spontaneously blew us up.
The ignite button.
Sorry, I'm getting excited.
Ah, my back pocket is burning.
My biscuits are burning.
Well, let's get back to the news, shall we? Because we're not here to have fun.
No. Serious face.
The world's favorite time machine platform is making a comeback. The DeLorean Motor Company is... It's not a phone box.
I guess it is a time machine platform.
It is a time machine platform.
The stainless steel design makes it perfect for that.
That's right. The DeLorean Motor Company is spinning up production of its iconic DMC-12 Gullwing vehicle. The DeLorean CEO, Stephen Wynn, I didn't know they were still around. I thought they collapsed in the 80s.
Hey, we talked about this. No, this is actually a totally different company. They're based out of Texas, and they have been producing some replicas, but now they have...
You're right.
They have all the rights to the back inventory, the logo, and whatever else that goes along with these cars.
Well, the company was prohibited by law from producing new vehicles. It's building the replicas, like you said, of the circa 1982 car under a low-volume manufacturing bill. The stainless steel panel cars will be built using materials from the original run of the vehicle. The DeLorean Motor Company in Texas was and still is a place for current car owners to get their vehicles restored. The company currently sells refurbished cars for $45,000 to $55,000 U.S. The run of about 300, quote, new DMC-12s will most likely be upgraded with new powertrains and other bits of current technology. The company hopes to build about one vehicle per week to put on the market for under $100,000. That's not a very high production run rate.
No.
This isn't the first time the car has made a comeback of sorts. In 2011, an electric DeLorean was announced with a 100-mile range.
Mm-hmm.
Wynn hopes to finish working out the kinks with the government to in the coming year. With the government to in the coming year. Someone slipped one. And the company will be having newish DeLoreans on the road in 2017. They're big cars. Cool. They're fairly large vehicles.
Yeah, I think they said that, and forgive me if you read this, but I think the only thing they're really changing is under the hood, because I think the engine was a little sluggish for this heavy car.
Yep.
So they can make some change. You know what I would like to see now?
Modern electronics?
No, yeah. Well, that's where I'm going. Actually, it's really cool that they're producing this again, because I'm sure there is a market for it. But I would like to take this a step further. Reimagine this for today. So what would you change on this to make it similar, but that would make it appeal going forward?
All right, let's call an audible. Let's change the question of the week. Our new question of the week is, what would you change on the 1980s DeLorean to bring it up to date, but yet still keep it in that retro Gullwing stainless steel style? How cool would that be?
And you know what? You may not be able to.
Why not?
I mean, because... Well, let's face it, it's iconic from the time and, of course, Back to the Future.
I think it would be really cool to make it an electric vehicle.
Well, they are doing that. You saw that.
And modern electronics. Well, let's see what the listeners come up with. They've got good imaginations.
Yeah, quit giving them answers.
Well, I like to seed the pot a little bit.
You're like helping them cheat on the test.
No, I just give them the first couple answers as samples, where they say fill in the circle completely, not like this, like this.
You're seeding the pool.
Seeding this, anyway, rigging the election.
By the way, Ben also, Ben's like our Siri or Google.
Okay, Ben. Which,
the Tron levels are RPG, COBOL, Basic, Fortran, Snowball, PL1, Pascal, Algol, Assembly, OS, JCL, and User. I guess User. Yeah. Okay.
I think JCL is where I usually pooped out.
JC made it to User.
No, I never made it to User.
I must have been pretty close. I had to be.
Yeah. It was like level 9 or 10.
Okay. Hey, I think I spent my college tuition on Tron or other and various college tuition. Arcade games. Yeah. Here's the last quarter of my
Netflix has been coming out with a lot of original programming. However, this one leads
I'm sorry, I just read it.
Yeah. Leads to some questionable because of Craig's reaction, I think I'll be reading this one. Netflix foray into original programming has gone pretty well for them. This one seems a lot more suspect. Apparently, Netflix thought it didn't have enough original content for kids. So, it partnered with Hasbro to come up with a new Stretch Armstrong. Because Stretch Armstrong has good name recognition amongst youth of the 80s. What kid knows? Has he been produced lately? I haven't seen him in stores in decades.
I thought they kind of came back to a degree, like they had a limited run or something.
To be fair.
I don't remember.
Yeah. This exact arrangement was how most of the animated shows of my childhood got made. Anyway, the Hasbro Netflix Axis of Money, I love that title, is making an animated comedy show about a teenager named Jake Armstrong and his two best friends. In typical fashion, a mysterious chemical dunk gives them stretchy powers, turning them into Stretch Armstrong and the Flex Fighters. He had friends? That
he does now.
Stretch Armstrong.
Well, okay. I do remember there was a Stretch Armstrong, and I want to say there was not a monster, but almost like the Gorn. You know, it was green.
Yeah.
And it was also had the same kind of form where you stretch it just like this. But I don't know if it.
It didn't work that well for the Fantastic Four stretchy guy.
I'm telling you, there was something. There had an additional one. It wasn't just Stretch. There was another one. The green.
We'll call upon the listeners again.
Here it is. There's a picture of it. Yes, there it is.
Stretch Armstrong is part of a concerted effort on Netflix's part to create more programming for non-adults. It's also got a musical series for younger kids called, and I wish I was kidding, La La Loopsie, and a tween sci-fi drama, of course, called The Greenhouse. In all cases, they'll be going the patented all episodes at once route. So get ready for Stretch Armstrong in 2017 and also get ready to explain to kids what Stretch Armstrong is.
Here, go look in the show notes, the link below it.
Yes.
Go click on that and you'll see they mentioned
Stretch Monster. Armstrong.
Yeah. So scroll down a little bit and there it is. It looked like a Gorn. Like
oh,
I said.
Yeah. He does have kind of that creature from the Black Lagoon look.
I want to say I had that one too. I love the kid's face as he's stretching it. He's got his teeth going.
Craig, that looks like you as a kid.
No. much darker hair. Anyway,
but it's kind of neat. Got the and look. Stretchy octopus. How can that be a superhero? All right, stand back or I'll stretch my arms around you and give you a big hug.
By the way, Stretch Armstrong and the monster look like they're very happy with one another.
And then what happens if you poke Jake Armstrong in the gut? Does he leak that toxic fluid, that goo?
You know, I don't think it was liquid enough to actually leak, but I know, I mean, you could probably squeeze it out.
It was kind of that same stuff they put in squishy balls. You know, those office stress toys.
It's very, it's liquidy in the sense that it can change. I mean, but it has a good shape to it. It's not like you just pour it out.
Mind blown again. Okay, well, we are out of here.
Mind blown again.
Stand back. It's Stretch Armstrong. let's get out of here. We've run a little long. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we hope to talk to you soon again. Don't forget, no Technorama for the next couple of weeks. Our question of the week, we want to hear from you. What technology or enhancements would you make to the original DeLorean DMC-12 vehicle to bring it up to date and make it
13.
Cool? Make it the 12A.
What?
The 12.1. No, seriously, we want to hear from you. Call us on the listener line, 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com, or the Facebook page, or all of that goodness. You know where to find us.
Feel better now?
I do. I do. There was one other thing I was going to say, but we'll save it for the Patreon show. Talk to you later. Till next time. All right. What do you say, Craig?
101. Live long and prosper.